I consider expanding internationally as another tool in that toolkit to keep optimizing.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with the format, well, each month we focus on a different marketing method. Could be email or SEO or Facebook ads. And each week I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. This month we're all about omnichannel, which obviously isn't itself a marketing channel. But we have 12 months in the year and there aren't 12 e-commerce marketing channels. So we like to play around every now and again with something a bit different. And given the big marketing challenges at the moment are hugely competitive home markets in some locations and rising competition, lower spend levels from consumers, it's all about one of the big things in any marketing plan at the moment should be about reducing the risks in your business. And that means finding more channels to sell via. So this month, we're looking at other channels than your own website in your home country that you could sell via. In this episode, we're going to be exploring cross-border, what it takes to be successful selling overseas. Last time, we talked about physical retail. We've also got episodes coming up around marketplaces and wholesale or B2B as well. So we've got loads of different angles for you to help you work out how to increase your profits, de-risk the business, improve customer retention and recruitment, and all that kind of good stuff. In this episode, we are all about selling overseas, all about export. And this episode really gets to the heart of why we're covering omnichannel this month, which is to find those ways of de-risking your business and to work out how to do it well so we can set you up for a successful expansion, diversification, call it what you will, when you decide to go down there. So I'm hoping you'll listen to the whole of the 4 or 5 episodes and go, right, that's the route we want to take. We know enough now to be able to make the strategic decision that that's the channel we're going to open and this is how we're going to do it. Now, this guest is a familiar one to listeners to the E-commerce Masterplan show because he was recently on that show sharing the Vivo Barefoot story. He's now supplier side and deep into cross-border, so it's brilliant to be able to chat to him again. Do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode because at the end of the interview, he will be sharing some quickfire insider tips to help you maximize the performance of omnichannel. And then I'll be sharing my take on it all, plus outlining some more free ways we can help you improve your omnichannel even more. So stay tuned to the end. Do you have a problem only an awesome piece of e-commerce tech can solve? Is your e-commerce tech stack not quite fit for purpose anymore? Then why not explore the latest technology on offer at e-commerce tech? We are going through a hugely changing time in the tech landscape at the moment, and if you want to be bringing the best results you can in your business, then you need to be on top of what's going on in the tech space. To find out that and much more, head to keepopt.com/tech. That's keepopt.com/TECH. keepopt.com/tech to find all the best tools for your e-commerce store. In this episode, I'm chatting with omnichannel expert Paul Walker. Paul is a cross-border growth specialist at Global E, where he uses his experience to help brands grow their sales and profits through exporting. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Chloe. Very nice to talk to you again so soon.
Yes, Paul, it's brilliant to be catching up with you again. As the audience know, you were previously at Vivo Barefoot, and we talked about that over on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. So it's very exciting to be talking to you in your new role. So how did you end up in cross-border selling? Did that journey start with Vivo Barefoot when you were retailer side, or has it been something you're newly exploring in your new role?
That's right. The journey very much started with Vivo. I think we talked about it in the previous recording. A substantial part of Vivo's volume and growth was international, probably to a factor of over 75%. And a lot of that, or all of that, was powered and is powered by Global E, which is where I am now.
And was that, not to bang on about Global E, but I guess you're in the position where they're tried and tested. Did that make the decision to go and work for them a little bit easier because you knew how good the product was?
The product is exceptional, but the business was very familiar. It was an easy enough transition. When I left Vivo, one of the things I knew or wanted to achieve was helping as many other businesses on their growth journeys, specifically their international journeys. And working for Global E allows me to try and achieve what I achieved at Vivo on a multiple scale.
So my next question was going to be, why sell into other countries? But I'm thinking, is it literally because it's the obvious next step from all your experience for an e-commerce store, is there reaches a point where you are going to, if you want to keep growing, you need to be exploring other markets in other locations?
I think historically that was the primary reason to move into a cross-border space, was that your growth in your home territory had reached its easy scaling peak, and that to continue scaling your business moving cross borders was the right way to go. But increasingly with economic challenges, there's a risk management part of being cross borders, that not just focusing on a home territory that might be contributing 70, 80, 90% of your revenue is mitigated by exploiting opportunities in other international markets.
That lowering of risk piece is so powerful, isn't it? As you reach a certain point, it's like, well, actually, we could fall over because we're dependent on just the one country. Or as we're talking about throughout this month, just the one sales channel. We're only selling via our own store. We're not doing wholesale. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. We're not doing marketplaces. At what point do you think a brand should be adding more legs to their one leg stool? Is it from day one these days? Is it at 50K? Is it 100K? Is it 5 million? At what point does it make, or is it not money based at all? Is there another point at which it becomes obvious to do it?
Well, certainly the businesses like Global-e and other cross-border solutions mean that barrier to being international has been lowered significantly or removed entirely. And we've seen it with the increase of direct-to-consumer brands. Businesses can't trade internationally from their inception to expose their brand and their products and proposition to as many people globally, whilst ensuring that they're offering an optimized and seamless customer journey from day one.
So given it's easier, I'm not going to say so easy because there's an awful lot of stuff to do to get it right. Given it's a lot easier than it was 10 years ago, than it was 5 years ago to sell cross-border, what's the key thing you see people getting wrong? Is it tax? Is it logistics? Is it websites? Or is it something else?
I think the end-to-end customer journey has to be considered. Cross-border providers like Global-e will interact with the consumer across their entire journey, localizing key elements of that customer journey. So whether that's accepting hundreds of currencies or multiple payment methods or the ability to manage taxes and duties, I think it's important to ensure you're offering that localized experience throughout the entire journey.
It's interesting. I've recorded an episode which will be going live after this one, okay, just to confuse everybody, and on a different podcast. But it's so relevant to me to what you were just saying, which is I was talking to someone about how they are busy with, and I'm going to leave you all hanging. You're going to have to listen to every episode of the E-commerce Master Plan from now until the end of the year to work out which episode it was. Sorry, guys, intrigue away. But they were talking about how doing a big international expansion, especially into Europe at the moment because of the Brexit issues, they found that the key thing they needed to do was to do everything that they do in the UK. So it was relevant homepages, relevant delivery options, relevant payment, great marketing, properly translated pages, not advertising products that they weren't interested in. And it's like we can't just go turn on a country and expect it to work. We have to put in the same amount of understanding of the customer, ticking all the boxes across the customer journey. We've got to think of it as a super important channel, a super important version of our business if we're going to succeed.
We have to consider that the customer's requirements relative to where they are, and we have to optimize the proposition relative to what they need. So different countries have different e-commerce penetrations, and e-commerce is growing in scale as a proportion of total retail differently in different territories. I mean, obviously, we do know that generally it's continuing to move forward, and the statistics still suggest that. And e-commerce continues to take a greater proportion. That increase is happening at different rates in different countries, but it will also happen slightly differently proportionate to that brand. So whatever vertical the brand's in or whatever customer profile that brand or merchant has, they also have slightly unique requirements. So the ability to manage proposition, and by proposition, I mean the currencies we make available, and the payment methods that we make available, and the option to coordinate and manage taxes and duties in multiple ways.
I remember sitting in sessions about how to sell cross-border 5-10 years ago, and it was pretty much all that was talked about was currency, payment methods, language on homepage, delivery methods, taxes and duties, which now it feels to me they are the building blocks or the foundations, but they're not what's going to make or break you. It's like 5-10 years ago, we could go, here's a website, we put it in your currency and we added a payment method we think you might like. And and that will work, that will be enough. But now we kind of need to remember we're competing against the home brands, aren't we? So we've got to be on the same level as them. We can't, what I'm trying to say really is we can't do this half-assed and we need a marketing plan.
Yeah, so we speak to those core products as global enablement. So they are the foundational blocks. Should a customer be aware of a merchant or be aware of a brand and land on their website, they're going to have a seamless experience. They're going to be able to pay by whatever means they want. And what we know is just by adding the enabling functions that we can typically drive revenue increases just through proposition and service. But what we aren't creating is any additional demand. And where the industry is heading is, not only are we providing the enablement services, but we're providing global demand. We're providing tools and capabilities, much like a performance marketing agency can, to provide and drive local traffic, high intent, highly engaged traffic to those merchants' websites, knowing that once they do land, customer experience will be nailed.
And do we have to get all this right simply to test the market? You know, because we talk about there's so many channels that we might do. We're not going to go in with everything we spend in the UK and all the time and effort we put on in the UK or in the US or wherever we might be on day one. Given we have to do everything to make it work, is there a test scenario for starting to sell cross-border for someone who wants to test the waters? Or does it have to be a big, hefty project to make sure you get everything right?
I don't think it's a big, hefty project. And I also think we should clarify who we is. So we, globally, the cross-border provider, can effectively do the work for you. We aim to be an extension of the brand's team, of the merchant's team. We totally understand that, especially from day one, 80, 90, 95% of a merchant's revenue is likely in their home territory. And that's where their headspace is. That's where they're focusing. If it's breaking, you can't get that headspace to start looking at incremental revenue opportunities. You're so focused on fixing what might be broken. So we provide the expertise. We work with merchants to optimize those enablement fundamentals, the proposition management. And then we effectively take a step further and own that performance marketing. We will work with the merchant to understand which regions they want to focus on immediately. The merchant will be receiving traffic in more or less quantities from different countries already. So let's chase those organic opportunities and let's optimize proposition and traffic for those high organic countries first. And then we go for a process of slowly optimizing down that list.
So do you think it's possible to do this in-house? I realize that's a slightly loaded question as you work for someone who'd be great to outsource the whole thing to. But given there's so much knowledge involved in this process, to go it alone in terms of understanding the culture of the countries, what marketing channels work in different countries, the right payment methods, the right taxes, the right currency, all that kind of propositional stuff, and to actually have the focus on it, which if you're not putting some focus on it, and like you said, if you're starting out, 95% of the sales are going to be in your home territory, you're obviously going to be putting most of your brain there. Is it possible to do this without expertise of how to expand into that country? Not just how to be an existing brand in that country, but how to launch and how to sell, and ideally someone who knows about it in more than one country. Is it feasible to do it in-house?
There's the local knowledge, which the in-house team would have to have, but then there's also the operational configuration. Let's say we want to target the Netherlands. We first and foremost, we need some local expertise that understands the Dutch customer. Then we need to access payment methods and currencies and management of taxes and duties for that specific country, for the Netherlands. So is it feasible to tackle one country and slowly build up expertise there? Yes, perhaps. Is it feasible to roll that out with capabilities to ship into 200 countries? You know, it's not overly complicated to connect to Ideal, the Dutch payment method of choice. But then when you want to do that 150 times, the operational resource becomes incredibly compromised and challenging. So yeah, if you want to target a second country, then it's feasible. But if you want to roll out internationally, I can't see that that's possible.
Excellent answer. Thank you very much, Paul. Now, I mentioned Brexit earlier, which has been a thorn in the side of many a retailer, both in the UK and selling into the UK for the last few years. I'm hearing less about it, so I'm assuming it's getting a bit easier. Has it got easier dealing with the changes that Brexit's gone down? Has it at least become known rather than unknown dealing with it, without getting too deep into the weeds? But
I have very smug memories from my time at Vivo where we were ahead of the curve. We saw the challenges coming at Vivo. We migrated the European warehouse, which was previously shipping all from the UK, but we moved European fulfillment into the Netherlands. That hub in the Netherlands, mixed with the enablement and the relationship with Global-E, meant that Vivo had no or next to no challenges with the Brexit process. We didn't have to turn off shipping. Our taxes and duties were managed from a customer and from the merchant perspective through Global-E, and the products weren't necessarily moving cross-border. I think the majority of businesses have overcome the taxes and duties challenges, which seem to be the overwhelming challenges for most.
So we at least know what we need to do these days, which is a long way on from where we were at the beginning. Well, unless we had the foresight that you guys did.
I think it's clearer now. Things haven't become any easier. Policies haven't necessarily changed. But I think communication of the challenges and supplier side support has got there now.
Got you. Okay. Thank you for diving into that one for us, Paul. Is there anything we've missed or any key takeaway those listening should know about?
Yeah, of course. Like, speaking from my merchant and brand side experience, I'm aware, as all merchants are, that there's a lot of competing technologies and services that are available to us to keep optimizing our journey. But at the same time, we're also pressed for resource and pressed for capacity in a fairly constrained market to fully utilize or realize these opportunities. And I think merchants just need to reflect on what is the optimum route to their own profitable growth, whether that's through CRM optimization or whether they're search and merch tools, for example. And I consider expanding internationally as another tool in that toolkit to keep optimizing.
That's such a cool way to think about it. And I think it speaks to what we were talking about earlier around, can you do this in-house or not? It's like, well, you could do it in-house, but it's going to be harder, a bigger distraction off your main business and probably go less well than if you bring in experts to help you. And it's like, yeah, you could build your own site search or you could buy an off-the-shelf solution that actually is ready and, you know, start 2 years down the line rather than starting backwards. So I love that as a final thought for this bit of the interview, Paul. Thank you very much. It's been great picking your brains about cross-border selling and exporting. Listeners, make sure you stay tuned right to the end because you don't want to miss out on Paul's insider tips on Omnichannel and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your businesses.
Do you have a problem only an awesome piece of e-commerce tech can solve? Is your e-commerce tech stack not quite fit for purpose anymore? Then why not explore the latest technology on offer at e-commerce tech? We are going through a hugely changing time in the tech landscape at the moment, and if you want to be bringing the best results you can in your business, then you need to be on top of what's going on in the tech space. To find out that and much more, head to keepopt.com/tech. That's keepopt.com/tech. keepopt.com/tech to find all the best tools for your e-commerce store.
Okay, Paul, so far we've gone deep into cross-border selling. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of omnichannel and e-commerce and cross-border. all of the above. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with omnichannel, which of course includes all the brilliant cross-border stuff we've already been talking about. Paul, are you ready for these?
I'm ready. Let's go, Chloe.
Excellent. Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Yeah, I think we touched on it earlier, Chloe. I think it's a matter of following the data. What are the underlying trends within the business? Where is the organic traffic coming from? And how do we prioritize those countries in a cross-border perspective to start our international growth journey?
Yeah, if you're not getting any organic traffic from X, don't go to X. Well, X is a terrible word to use though, isn't it? Because of course it's also now Twitter. If you're not getting any traffic from Z, I shall say, then don't go after Z, go after W, where all the traffic is. Okay, once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
By keep optimizing, sorry. We continually look through proposition. We continue to look at all the different trends of payment method utilization or taxes and duties management at a regional level. And we follow the kind of the macro data we have access to ensure that we're working with merchants to keep fine-tuning that proposition, which will continue to evolve as that any given region reaches scale.
Yeah, the answer is in the question there. Surprising how few guests don't point that out, actually, to be honest, but you're spot on. Okay, if someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend to them?
The best place I recommend is the Globally Knowledge Center, globally.com/knowledge-center.
Okay, finally, it's crystal ball time. And Paul, I'm expecting big things from this because you've already admitted your crystal ball predicted Brexit. So what's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
I think it's more of the same. The markets are going to be tough. We may not technically be in recessions, but share of wallets remain suppressed. Competition remains high. Paid media networks are chasing profits, some media costs are high. It's a case of being nimble. It's a case of exploiting the opportunities where growth might be easier, where profit might be easier, and just continuing to chase that kind of next best opportunity, which in many cases, especially as a UK merchant, is unlikely to be in your home territory.
Yep. Got to keep looking at the data, everyone, and diversifying that risk, as Paul was saying right up at the very beginning of the episode. Paul, we are very nearly at the end of the show. So if the listeners are thinking, yes, cross-border's for me, but they want to take that fast track and get the help to help them make it successful, what can you tell us about Globally and how they can get in touch with you and the rest of your team?
Globally creates borderless e-commerce world, connecting shoppers and brands all over the globe. If you want to explore your international journey further and take advantage of that growing cross-border market we've talked about, I encourage you to head over to globally.com, global-e.com, where you can connect with one of the team of international experts. Otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn, search Paul Walker, and I'm sure you'll find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Paul. I'm sure a lot will be in contact with you guys. And thank you so much for coming on the Keep Optimizing podcast and sharing so much of your expertise with us even. As always, it is a real pleasure to catch up with you. So thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Chloe.
Loads of fascinating insight there from Paul. I mean, you can go international without getting expertise in, but whether that expertise is going to be a coach, is going to be a full-on team, there are so many layers to it, and you can't just give it a little go and hope it all works out. It is now, because the way the industry is evolving, you've got to get it right. And that demand gen, the actually doing some marketing part, is just so critical. Well, you can get the links to all those things we discussed, the full transcript of the episode, the important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. Use our special direct episode short link to go to the right page. Just use keepopt.com/episode number. Put that into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right episode page. When you get to the website, don't forget to add yourself to our email list if you haven't already, so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business, like that podcast episode I said is coming up soon with a retailer talking about their expansion into Europe. I'm not going to tell you who it is until it comes out. Now, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed it and want to carry on learning about omnichannel right now, then scroll back up your feed to the episode immediately before this one, which is all about retail, physical stores, what's working now, what to consider before doing it, how to make it successful, all that good stuff. You can also find all our omnichannel even content via the short link keepopt.com/omnichannel. And please do tell your fellow marketers about the show, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce stores. That's what we exist for here at Keep Optimizing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to our next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Find the latest e-commerce tech at keepopt.com/tech.